Let's wait and let everyone get settled. Okay, Mr. Hoffman.
Yes, may it please the court. Peter Hoffman.
Before you get started, Mr. Hoffman, we'll start your time over. You're here as an attorney, and I just say that because I also know that you're an interested party in the case, so you need to be real careful that you're not testifying as a live witness, but that any facts that you make reference to need to be facts in the record.
Thank you, Your Honor, and I plan to just focus on a question of law, and I'll leave that to Mr. Palminteri to make comments about the record as required. I'm here pro hac vice with Mr. Palminteri, representing Seven Arts Pictures, Inc., and myself. What the court has before it is our appeal of an order of civil contempt under the district court's inherent power for failure to comply with an ex parte, maybe two ex parte discovery orders entered under the Louisiana garnishment law. This is in a case for execution under Rule 69 on a judgment of the Central District of California enforcing an arbitration award under a contract that chooses California law. In this case, there's been no Rule 16 scheduling order, both required by the federal rules and local rules. There's been no Rule 26 order. There's been no meet and confer of counsel under 26F. There has been no motion under Rule 37 or a meet and confer as required by Rule 37A. And counsel for Jones Film asserts that he has no such obligations in enforcing the laws of the state of Louisiana. Our argument is that all discovery in support of a motion for execution under Rule 69 must be in accordance with the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure under Hanna and Plummer. And therefore, in order for there to be an issue of noncompliance, and whatever those would be, whether that's just a sanctions for attorney's fees or a contempt order under 37B, that requires first discovery under Rules 33 and 34, a 37A meet and confer together with an appropriate motion, and then there would be contempt only after an order had been issued under 37A or under 26, which was then disobeyed, and then a motion would be made under Rule 37B. Now, counsel will discuss the substantial justification for the initial resistance to the discovery, all of which we certainly now believe we have complied with, and we continue efforts with the other side to have a meet and confer on that issue. But the issue is that we believe that the federal rules must apply to this matter, not the Louisiana garnishment rules. Now, in addition, it is also, we believe, under Judge Higginbotham's decision in the specialty healthcare case, it is, in fact, the law of California that would apply to execution under this judgment in any event, because the arbitration, this was enforcement of an arbitration, as in that case, and the arbitration agreement chose California law. But in here, we think that on discovery issues, we don't get to any question of state law. It should be determined in accordance with federal law.
Does the record reflect that the garnished funds were transferred to you from the corporation?
No, Your Honor.
The record does not reflect
no,
that?
No. What happened was there was a various movements. Rather than me speak to that, Your Honor,
I'll let him answer the question.
Yeah, if I could let, actually, this will be handled by counsel for Leeway,
Mr. Wade. Do you still contend that the court has no personal jurisdiction over you?
Yes, we do, Your Honor. That issue has now been determined by the district court and is subject to a separate appeal, which, and Mr. Palminteri will discuss the fiduciary shield issues that are raised by that.
Do we need to answer that issue in resolving this?
No, Your Honor. No, Your Honor, at all. This is only one of the reasons why to have an order of contempt before an issue that we had presented was even resolved was inappropriate. What we think is happening here is that the Jones Film is using the Louisiana garnishment law to effectively become discovery and a process for executing under a judgment under Rule 69A, and that is inappropriate both because that needs to follow the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure, and second, if there were recourse to state law, that state law should be the law of California because that's the law chosen by the arbitration agreement, which should be controlling under the specialty healthcare decision.
Wouldn't your remedy be appeal rather than self-help if that were the case? instead of failing to comply with the court's orders, wouldn't the remedy have been to appeal the court's orders rather than to be directly disobedient?
Your Honor, the issue we had throughout this was we were struggling with how these Louisiana garnishment laws work when they come to discovery, because garnishment we thought was a substantive issue, but the Louisiana garnishment law also has various discovery issues. And so we were actually trying to comply with the discovery issues, and Mr. Pomenteri will discuss that at the same time raising various defenses. But certainly the court is correct that we had every right to both not comply and appeal, as well as...
No, I didn't say that you had the right not to comply. I said you had the right to appeal, not to not comply.
Certainly, we believe that there is the CBS case, which we cite, allows for a party to fail to respond to the order and then appeal it afterwards, which is what has happened here. But again, Your Honor, it would be wrong to say that we felt that there was no obligation to comply. We were only trying to figure out how to do so, and that was where the issue is. But the critical issue to us is that if we had had the protections and the procedures, I'm sorry, my time is over. I again just want to say that the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure would handle this matter.
All right.
Thank you, Your Honor.
You save time for rebuttal, Mr. Hoffman. Mr. Wegman?
Good morning, Your Honors. I'll be brief. I am new to the case. I have enrolled as counsel on appeal. The brief filed on behalf of Leeway, I think, fairly sets forth the issues of importance to my client. My client is not a judgment debtor. My client is a garnishee. There were issues which came to the attention of my client during the garnish proceedings, which resulted in finding out about an embezzlement scheme. The lady's name was Marcia Matthews. There was a report made by the police department on this behalf. Central National Bank, which was the bank where the funds were located, which are of interest to Jones Film, investigated this matter, and what we found out was that, well, we knew that Leeway Properties believed that the account of interest to Jones Film had been closed in August of 2010. It is the period between August of 2010 and when the garnishment orders and subpoena came out in late January of 2011 that there were unauthorized transactions taking place by this lady, Marcia Matthews. Jones Film seeks to hold Leeway responsible in some fashion for unauthorized acts. Leeway has responded, and this is a matter of record which Your Honors can check for themselves. They've been cited in the brief, attempted to respond to these garnishment interrogatories as best it was able, even to
where did the money go?
The money came in and the money went out, and we don't
know. Did the money go to Mr. Hoffman under this record?
Not to our knowledge. If it did, it went from Seven Arts Entertainment in and back to Seven Arts Entertainment. But we don't know. That same information, those accounts have been turned over. I'm talking about Leeway now.
Right.
Okay.
I understand Leeway's position is that it doesn't know what's happened to the money because of this fraudulent employee, this embezzling employee.
That's correct.
But there is some evidence in the record that the money actually went to Mr. Hoffman, isn't there?
Your Honor, that would have to be an evidentiary hearing, and which has not taken place, as far as I know, as to the origin of the funds and where the funds went. We have to distinguish in this case, Your Honors, if you will, please, between what is alleged and what has been proven, between what the foundations were for the allegations of Jones Film and whether it was actually using these garnishment proceedings as discovery to attempt to make some sort of connection between Leeway and Seven Arts in terms of ownership and so forth. What I ask the court to do is to go by what is a matter of record as opposed to what has been alleged and what the findings of the court were.
Did Leeway tell the court that it had no garnished funds?
I believe initially it did.
And that was incorrect, wasn't it?
And then it was corrected.
Did Leeway promptly correct that information?
Yes, Your Honor. After the garnishment interrogatories came in, and that has been briefed, Your Honor.
And then the money disappeared.
The money went out. But the funds, the transfer information, has been given to Jones Film. The funds came in on an unauthorized transaction and went out on an unauthorized transaction. Leeway had no knowledge of it, contemporaneous knowledge of it, until after it was put on notice through garnishment interrogatories, and then promptly disclosed, made an investigation. Seven Arts fired Ms. Matthews. Central Bank investigated this.
Do you agree that Leeway had a responsibility pursuant to the court's order to segregate and keep those funds safe once they had come in?
I think, Your Honor, that they acted as promptly as they could. There was not a great lag of time, Your Honor. As soon as they found out, there are two steps here. Remember, the account was thought to have been closed in August of 2010, all right? The garnishment interrogatories came in January of 2011. There was an initial response. They received a subpoena, duces tecum, made further inquiry, found out what had been taking place, and took prompt and responsible measures thereafter. That is what took place.
What did you try to do to get the money back?
It was never our money.
The money that had come in to Leeway.
But it was never Leeway's money. It was a fraudulent transaction. It was never Leeway's money to make a claim to. A third person, Marcia Matthews, was acting in an unauthorized manner for, presumably, both Seven Arts and certainly for Leeway. The account was thought to have been closed. There was never any real knowledgeable control of those funds by Leeway.
All right, your time has expired, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Your Honors.
Mr. Palmentier?
May it please the Court, Joshua Palmentier, on behalf of the judgment debtors in this matter. Your Honor, this is a case involving, of course, the charging order and the interrogatory order, the garnishee interrogatory order, and the contempt orders that were subsequently ordered on those. This was done without a finding, without an adjudication of personal jurisdiction by the underlying court, except for in reference to Seven Arts Pictures. Now,
I thought Mr. Hoffman said that the personal jurisdiction is not really before us now. But I thought the whole focus of the brief was that it was before us.
Well,
can you clarify that?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, Your Honor. What I'm stating is that the first argument that I'm making here today is that the personal jurisdiction issue is before the Fifth Circuit in the next case. It is something that, out of abundance of caution, we briefed in our briefs here in both our original and our reply. However, that is really not the focus. The focus should be on whether or not the contempt orders should, in fact, have been issued before personal jurisdiction was adjudicated. We believe that the law states that of course jurisdiction should be decided prior to that. Now,
personal jurisdiction wasn't raised as a defense before the district court for them to know that they needed to adjudicate that prior to the issuance of the order. You don't just in the vacuum say, let me adjudicate personal jurisdiction unless someone raises it.
Understood, Your Honor. What we had done is through Seven Arts Pictures, we had raised lack of personal jurisdiction issues for all the judgment debtors. We had then
Where did you raise that in the record before the district court, before the garnishment orders were entered?
It was in the It was in the first filing where Seven Arts, on behalf of itself and other judgment debtors, asserted lack of jurisdiction over all of the judgment debtors.
It said, and other judgment debtors. That's the language, is what you're saying.
Yes, Your Honor, I believe that is the language. Now, because there is a lack of personal jurisdiction, a contempt order should not have been issued in either of these matters. The personal jurisdiction issues have now been they've now been ruled upon, and they are also being appealed, and so those matters are still pending before this court.
But you raised it in this appeal, personal jurisdiction.
Well, the personal jurisdiction issue that was raised is only out of an abundance of caution. The personal the real issue here is whether or not a contempt order should be entered in prior to personal jurisdiction.
This is very unusual. You've answered the question, but I still don't understand how you think we should address this. On page 8 of your opening brief, you raise as an issue the question, does the district court have personal jurisdiction over Hoffman? And then as a necessary predicate to enforcement of an order of civil contempt. Are you telling us that we should not address that issue and give an answer?
I believe that that issue is being addressed on appeal in the secondary.
Okay, that doesn't answer my question. We have a job to do.
Yes, Your Honor.
After this argument, the case is submitted and we need to render a decision and perhaps an opinion explaining our decision. What do we do with this issue? What do we say about it, in your view?
In my view, what needs to be done is it needs to be remanded for adjudication at the underlying with the district court. Now, actually, that's in effect that's already been done because it's pending in the fact that it's in front of the Fifth Circuit on appeal. Your Honor,
we can just assume arguendo that there is personal jurisdiction and decide the other issues. Is that right?
No, Your Honor. We believe that there is not. There is a lack of personal jurisdiction, as has been briefed. But we believe that the main issue is that before deciding on personal jurisdiction, it's putting the cart before the horse if you have contempt orders before you actually rule on the jurisdictional issues.
All right. Well, again, I'm looking at your opening brief, which is the controlling brief because you're the appellant. Your concluding paragraph, which is your prayer, says, Hoffman and SAP respectfully request this court to set aside the order to the extent of any finding of civil contempt against them and any order addressed to them to pay over the disputed funds. Is that you just told me that you wanted us to remand, but this doesn't say anything about remand. This brief asks us to rule on the order.
Well, either rule or remand, Your Honor. I mean, that's really what we're asking for this court to do. And as to the issues of the contempt order and any monies to be paid for attorney's fees, Your Honor.
If we have to rule on it, are you going to be back up here? Are you the rebuttal person?
I am not.
Well, somebody needs to address that Hoffman repeatedly claimed residence in Louisiana, served as a registered agent for a Louisiana limited liability company, which requires you to be a Louisiana resident, that he held an ownership interest and managed real estate in Louisiana, engaged in substantial business within the state, and has come to light also filed tax returns stating that he was a Louisiana resident. So if that's not enough to get us to personal jurisdiction, then I don't know what is. So somebody's going to have to address that. If you say we have to rule or remand, well, and you didn't even ask for us to remand, then looks like we've got something to rule on.
All right, your time has expired. Mr. Wagspack.
Good morning, Your Honors. David Wagaspeck representing Appellee Jones Film. When I first started practicing law, I was involved in a big commercial matter and very obsessed with the facts and the law and trying to develop the case for trial. And the senior partner that I was working for told me something that I've remembered that is applicable to this case. He said, you know, an aggrieved party does not achieve justice by obtaining a judgment. An aggrieved party obtains justice by collecting on a judgment. And that's what my client's been trying to do now for years. And it's a shell game. The money constantly is moving from entity to entity. The real estate's being transferred from entity to entity. And what you have before you now is a small part of litigation, enforcement litigation that's been going on. The California District Court said about Mr. Hoffman in its 2008 contempt decision, he repeatedly obstructed Jones Films' efforts to obtain the items to which they are entitled under the judgment. Further, finds Mr. Hoffman and therefore his companies to be completely lacking in credibility. Further, given Hoffman's history of stonewalling and misrepresentation, the court does not believe judgment debtors' misrepresentations. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal, on an appeal of a 2007 judgment and also that 2008 decision, observed, Hoffman did engage in deplorable attempts to intimidate witnesses testifying in the proceeding, and those threats permeated the entire proceeding.
The Ninth Circuit said that?
Yes.
And he's in good standing in California bar?
Apparently so. Your Honors, I don't even want to insult your intelligence by addressing personal jurisdiction. The contacts with Louisiana are so overwhelming, it's beyond belief.
Well, talk to us a minute about your understanding of the status of a separate appeal on the question of personal jurisdiction and how that interacts with whatever it is that we need to do in this appeal.
The district court has now ruled twice as to these parties before you that it has personal jurisdiction, and we cited those decisions that are on Westlaw in our brief. Whether the court decides that issue now, it's certainly been raised by these parties in this appeal, and I think can be decided on the record that's before you now, or the fact that it's already been decided by a district court, and I certainly think you can decide, based upon the record, that they did not properly raise personal jurisdiction.
Well, what's the second appeal about?
There's an entity, Louis Leeway, owns real estate. The real estate came from Mr. and Mrs. Hoffman, went into Leeway, and then went from Leeway into another entity called Royal Alice, all as we're trying to record our judgment. And in that case, I'm getting a little confused because there's literally four different cases pending in the district court. In that case, the same personal jurisdiction issues were objected to and fully briefed, evidence submitted, and we didn't even have all the documents that we have, the charging orders they never complied with. So we had evidence between the stuff that was filed with the Louisiana Film Commission and the publicly available documents, the documents we got from banks, the contacts are overwhelming. And so the district court made decisions on that, and those, I think, at least one of those decisions has been appealed to this court.
So we could either rule that personal jurisdiction has been waived in this case, or we could actually rule substantively on the issue of personal jurisdiction. That might moot all or part of the other proceeding. I don't know, because I don't know anything about that proceeding except what you've told us.
Correct. And as we argued in our brief, we believe that they waived personal jurisdiction by not waiving it and making appearances. And they certainly had ample opportunity to raise lack of personal jurisdiction.
But for judicial economy, in a case where that's raised as the first issue in the brief, it might be worthwhile to resolve it on the merits?
That would be great with me. Anything that we can do to streamline and reduce appeals, everything gets appealed. That's another part of this drama, is that we've got to fight everything over and over again.
Well, do you want to address at all his argument that filing Louisiana tax returns with the United States government that says he's a Louisiana resident doesn't count as an admission that he's a Louisiana resident?
Do I need to?
I don't know. I'm just asking.
If you're a registered agent, if you're filing Louisiana tax returns, California tax returns that say you're a Louisiana resident, you're showing Louisiana LLCs on your financial statements. I mean, the money that he received through these films as a Louisiana resident, I mean, he's got a lot more contacts with Louisiana than I do. Your Honors, I'm going to save your time. Unless there's any specific questions you have on any of this, I'll save your time and sit down. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Wagespack. Mr. Hoffman? All right. Well, you want to go? All right.
I'll go first, and then Mr. Wagespack, or Mr. Wegman will go second. To respond to the court's questions, the monies that were transferred, as the record shows, were all done by a an accountant that was in an embezzlement scheme that stole $50,000 from us, as is shown as a matter of the record. None of them were authorized by me, my wife, or anybody else. The money went into an account and out of an account. The money was always our money, never was anybody else's money. It was never Leeway's money, which is the only relevance to this action. And this was done with no authority by us, as was established by the bank and as a matter of the record. Second, one of the problems I've had throughout has been in which various statements get made that obscure what I think are the clear facts of the record. I believe that there is a doctrine called the fiduciary seal doctrine. I think it is a very important doctrine that deals with personal jurisdiction. Every single aspect of my contacts with the state of Louisiana has to do with the fiduciary seal doctrine, which are actions on behalf of my company under an employment contract where my sole compensation is pursuant to that. This is all put forward in the second appeal, which has nothing whatsoever to do with Royal Alice, but has rather to do with, in addition to the personal jurisdiction, a second contempt order by the court enforcing the turnover order under 69A by contempt, a judgment for money being enforced by a motion for contempt, which, of course, is clearly a violation of Rule 69A. And that is the principal source of the second appeal, and it relates solely to this case. As I believe Mr. Pomintori was trying to say, it is not necessary for this court to rule on the personal jurisdiction issue. All he's trying to say is that because that was pending, that is a reason not to hold me or others in contempt. However, if the court wishes to rule on it, it is brief for that reason. Now, let me just say one other thing about the tax returns, because this is, again, something where everything is obscured. What is not being said is that this is a joint tax return. There is a joint tax return also filed in the state of California. That is because my wife is a resident of Louisiana and I am a resident of California. They're under the law. We are obligated to file joint returns in both states, which does not mean my wife is a resident of California and it does not mean that I am a resident of Louisiana, merely by having filed a joint return because we have to file a joint return due to her residency, an issue that has been briefed before the court and which will be part of the second appeal for the court to make its own decision as to that. All the other actions, we believe, are protected by the fiduciary shield doctrine, and in any event, we certainly hope that this court will at least address the fiduciary shield doctrine, which the lower court has not seen a willingness to do. And of course, just one last thing. I have never managed real estate in the state of Louisiana. I do not manage it. It's all owned by my wife and has been owned since 2003. There are numerous misstatements in the record to this effect. This will all be clear in the second appeal. There is no ownership by me of any property in the state of Louisiana since the year 2003. My apologies. Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Wegman?
Yes, Your Honor, I'll be very brief. Just for context, Your Honor, Susan Hoffman and Peter Hoffman are separate in property and have been for many, many years. Having had no other argument from counsel, I'll defer the rest of my time on Leeway. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Wegman. Your case and all of today's cases are under submission.